All right, let me fuck this up.
This is going to take fucking
I've
hours
picked
and
this
it's
up way
yeah.
too much. It's not
So,
even that good. Is it the Book of John?
the gospel. The gospel, I wish it was.
Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25. And Gassan said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, of course we do, Gassan. Welcome to this week's Under the Abbey Stand. And it's unbelievably, miraculously, a six-point bank holiday weekend to review as the ewes rise from the dead under the stewardship of a wise monk. My name is Julian Roberts, a mere shepherd in this biblical tale, ready to guide you through the next hour of podding. And I'm joined by two disciples of the UTAS Church. Jack Swindlehurst, did you turn much water into wine this weekend?
Oh yeah, my fair share.
Too
But
much.
yeah, it was a jolly old weekend. I've got no Easter puns for you, but may peace be with you, as they
Don't
say.
worry, I've totally ruined it in the intro here. But one more. And obviously, a man for whom the Holy Spirit only relates to a pre-mixed gin and tonic tinny is Tom Walker. How are you, mate?
So I rolled the stone out of the way, walked out of the cave, got 6 points, secured League One football for a fourth year in a row. Said, what are we worried about?
We're in good spirits, Tom. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, mate. What I was going to say to you just before we started recording was I had this real realization earlier today. I was like, that's quite easy, isn't it, really? You just win a couple of games. Like, that's as simple as it is.
Literally, what were you worried about?
Yeah. It's, you know what we didn't say? We didn't say that we were absolutely crucifying them before. And then Easter
Nice.
Weekend comes and we come back to life. Well, I suppose the crucifixion probably happened on Easter weekend, didn't it?
See,
At
considering
Abbey
that,
Stampod on X, so feel free to let us know if we've got made a mistake there.
The first question I was going to ask was from Luke. He said, how many religious puns can you get out of this? That intro is your answer, Luke, but I think there's still more to come. I mean, Gassan rising high from a cross is one. Tom, let's start with you. David asks, surely two wins over Easter deserves an emergency pod rather than a normal pod, such as the enormity of the events. Wins like this are rarer than losing a manager after just a few weeks, and that got an emergency pod. Lots of people have simply been writing in, Tom, saying how much they're looking forward to a positive pod. Are we going to deliver? Was that weekend beyond your wildest dreams?
Beyond my wildest dreams. You know what would have been beyond my wildest dreams? Like seven or more points. That'd have been... no, but it was a very good dream. I wouldn't quite say it was beyond it just yet, but yeah, a bit of positivity is good, isn't it? Maybe we are just fickle. Who knows?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah,
maybe we're going some way to proving quite a lot of people's point. But no, it's really good. I mean, you know, we obviously went to Barnsley, and you know, I travelled to the game on Monday with a mate as well, and I just kept saying, I was like, I've really missed this feeling of just like coming back quite happy, particularly from Barnsley, because fuck knows it had been a long time since I'd seen us went away in the flesh, going all the way back to the heady days of August. And yeah, it was just such a good feeling. And it's weird. Like, again, like I said to the guys with on Monday, like I kept looking at the league table, which is weird because I don't think there's any fan of any club anywhere in the world that's sat 19th. It's been looking at the league table so much, and yeah, it's quite a good it makes for quite good viewing. So a great weekend.
Incredible, miraculous, you could say, Tom. Swindle, another thing that, aside from all the religious puns, the BSTUs are also back. The mass is actually pretty remarkable from this, you know, just before we get into these two games. Martin on Twitter put this out. He said the 22-23 season, 1.28 in BST, 0.67 GMT points per game. In this season, 1.38 BST so far and 0.96 GMT. I mean, that's a pretty remarkable upturn in form as soon as the clocks change. What I'm finding a bit odd is how much the club have been embracing it over the weekend.
Well, yeah, you, sorry, Swindle can tell you this in a minute, but from my perspective, I think that's not for you to laugh at.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Laugh at. You shouldn't be admitting that. You shouldn't be adding fuel to this fire.
It's remarkable as well. Like, it is quite literally, but it is night and day.
Brilliant.
That is good. That is a zinger, that. Early doors. Swindle, continue.
Yeah, I mean, it is an astonishing kind of fact. And yeah, maybe the players like to wait until they, you know, could be on the beach to start playing again. But whatever the reason, it's nice to be back to winning ways. And back-to-back wins is quite a weird feeling, not one we've experienced for quite a while. So yeah, really happy that the lads have started to pull it out. And it's just so nice to see Gassan back. I love the Gas Man. And yeah, him contributing directly to so many of our goals this season, is no surprise that he was back and scoring again.
Yeah, lots more on Gassan coming up. Let's start diving into these, shall we? Let's start on Good Friday. Very Good Friday, I think we could start calling it, couldn't we? You know? Yeah, 3 points and that. Tom, we met at King's Cross Station at, I want to say, sort of, I don't know, 20 past nine, something like that.
Too early.
And I'm not sure if I've ever looked forward to an away day less than this one, or had less desire. It was, seriously, we looked at each other with a face of like, what, why have we done this? And that's why. It's one of those days that gives you that, like, this is why we do it.
Yeah, I think the exact words were, even for us, this is pretty stupid.
Yeah. But then, what a day, man. I mean, honestly, it was incredible. You know, like, first of all, I want to just get your take on the game and I guess the day as a whole. But also, specifically, a point that you made on the WhatsApp group, actually after last night, which is the change in system and how that had an effect on it and how much credit Monk should get off the back of that.
Oh, yeah, big time. I think that's the, to be honest, I think that's the big takeaway from the whole weekend. You know, obviously the points and the wins are, you know, are great, and you know, Hadme showing form, well, that he's not been able to show, you know, are all obviously positives, and there's plenty more in there that we'll dissect. But I think the big thing is, and you know, we can go back to when we were fortunate enough to see us train at the Abbey, the Tuesday that that preceded the game at Barnsley, and you know, we didn't want to come on the pod, you know, the preview pod, and kind of shout and you know, declare to the world what Gary Monk's tactical approach was going to be. But it was so obvious what he was working on. Like, it was clearly going to be a back three. And look, they obviously had 2 weeks to work on it. And we obviously saw just one training session within that. But they literally ran through the same drill time after time after time for about an hour and a half. So it's clear what they were working on. So Monk's gone into this weekend and thought, well, sorry, into the break and thought, well, this is what I need to do to get the best out of this set of players. And that's one thing. And that's probably in some ways the easy bit. But then to get them on the training ground, to get them on the grass and you know, to be able to kind of implement it as effectively as we did. Part of it will have maybe been a bit of an element of surprise, because it was obviously a big departure from what we had seen before that, you know, in terms of the shape and to some extent in terms of the personnel. But yeah, I mean, to go away to a team like Barnsley, and I think the other point I'd make is just like, in terms of like the level of the teams we've beaten, I mean, we haven't done that loads, particularly Barnsley, because that, you know, they obviously went into the game fifth in the league, they're in the playoffs, and like we haven't beaten teams in the top six much in the 3 years now that we've been in League One. So to go away and do it at a team like Barnsley, I know their home form's a bit iffy here and there, but it was a seriously good performance. And I think what it does more than anything, you know, we were talking after the Reading game, like there'd already been some sort of, you know, mild question marks over not just his long-term future in the Football Club, but even a short-term from some short-term future from some people. And I think it just validates him so much, because, you know, you're now starting to think, okay, there's something that we can work with here. And we sat on the preview show and we said, you know what, win, lose or draw, but probably lose. If you come away from Barnsley and you think that, and you have that that mindset that actually there's something we can take from this and move forward with, we probably would have been quite happy. So to add into that, you know, 3 points, a couple of goals, maybe should have, well, definitely should have been another one, a clean sheet, which famously is a platform which we did then go and build on Monday. You'd have to say probably, I think, definitely in terms of an away performance, but probably in terms of any game this season, I'd probably put Barnsley up there with the best, just for pretty much everything, really. We were out of luck at times, of course we did, like you have to do that when you go to places like that, and they definitely should have scored one and perhaps, you know, two or three as well. They had some really good chances, particularly at the end of the first half, but rode our luck when we needed to, showed good quality when we needed to. And the thing that was so pleasing, I guess, you know, maybe above all of this, is that, like, it was just the grit and desire just to, like, not just stay in the game but really take it to them at times. And that that had been lacking so much. So it was just everything that we'd been missing before we saw at Barnsley, and we obviously saw bits of on Monday as well. So yeah, good weekend, but Barnsley was the real quiz, I think.
Where do you stand on the phrase "you make your own luck," and or you know, like everything you've just said, we set up so solidly and we play with that grit and desire that we haven't seen for so many weeks, and then things do sometimes just fall your way, you know, like Barnsley hit the post from 4 yards out, or they miss from 6 yards out, or they pass it, roll it back into their own goal from a, you know, uncontested pass back, or just little things like this. Like it's sometimes the wider context of a game and like how you set yourself up in that game that you get these little breaks that sometimes haven't fallen our way when, you know, maybe our aptitude or the way we've approached the game has been wrong. Adam has asked just on that original question. Interesting how the boys from the pod attend a training session at the Abbey and then the boys in Amber win against two tough opponents. My question is, should you attend more training sessions? I'd go a step further than that, Adam. I think we should be taking the training sessions, because it was actually on the last pod, Tom, that we were saying that the one positive from that Reading game is the break coming up. And if Monk is a manager, we think he is, that break is what he's going to want and need to work with these players. And it was something he said in his post-match yesterday. Swindle, the game itself. I'm going to give you the two big moments in the first half. I'll give you the comedy own goal, because I think you're a man who appreciates a comedy own goal. Mention there the luck that it takes to get. I mean, I sort of feel bad saying to score a goal like that, but you know, to have a goal like that scored for you, I guess is the way to put it.
I think every team kind of gets something throughout the season that equates to like that much luck, and sometimes I think we feel like we're down on luck, especially when you're struggling in the league. I think it always seems like luck goes against you rather than for you. So that came at such a crucial time, and it is just absolutely comical. I mean, it's just a bit of a freak goal, but we'll take it. And, you know, we've had things go against us in the past, and, you know, and other teams benefiting from our kind of inadequacy. So it's nice that it's happening to us rather than, against our players. But yeah, I mean, it's comedy and completely avoidable. But, you know, as you say, I think you make a good point. I think you make your luck. And then when you get a situation like that, it's about acting on it and making the most out of it. And that's what we did. So yeah, I think you can't really allow for something like that. And I'm sure they won't do that again. But yeah, I'm glad that we got the benefit from it.
So a few minutes later, then the ref goes and disallows a goal for, I mean, genuinely, I've watched it so many times and I cannot get my head around this. Richard's asked, was that disallowed Ryan Bennett goal the worst refereeing decision we've had since Brandwood against Bolton all those years ago? It's remarkable how much that gets brought up, by the way. Thank God it didn't matter. Or would have been very hot cross bunnies. In the end, it didn't matter. But is it one of the worst decisions you've ever seen? Because I can't even figure out the sort of contested point in it.
No, I don't think it's one of those that I literally can't get my head around. And I've been thinking a few times this season. You made a good point on the group chat a few days ago. You don't like to dig officials out, but I think the level of officiating at this League One level has been kind of gradually dropping since we've been in it. I think there's quite a lot of questionable refereeing. And I think assistants, certainly when we watch at the Abbey, seem to have very little kind of input over the game. And you quite often see assistants waiting for the ref to signal and stuff, so even when it's over their side. And, you know, I don't know if there's a lack of confidence there, but yeah, that decision standalone is just, it's just, you can't get your head around it.
I see your point. This one, apparently, I think the lino give it.
Yeah.
Then the ref, who's much closer to it, is just going along with the lino's decision in that situation. I take your point. My point is always just like, I think over the course of a season, you sort of get as many as you give away, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like a little sort of 50-50 pens or whatever. Sometimes they go your way, sometimes they don't, over the course of 46 games, whatever. But things like that, like, even if that's a goal scored against us and we get the decision our way, I think it's still a talking point that we all bring up, because it's like, it's ridiculous.
It's completely laughable. And it's like, to have to watch something that many times and try to work out yourself why it's not being allowed. I mean, it's just, you know, it's inexcusable. And my point wasn't particularly that we're on the wrong end of bad refereeing. I think generally just the refereeing has been quite poor this season. And maybe I'm overly critical and, you know, watching the game through a frustrated football fan's eyes. But yeah, that's just how I've seen it. But yeah, I think that one is definitely the worst that we've experienced since being back in the Football League, without a shadow of a doubt.
It's worse than the Lancaster one at MK last year, which, although I thought was, you know, we got an apology for it, at least I could sort of understand why someone had even got to that decision, even though I thought it was wrong. Anyway, let's forget the referees. This isn't a pod to talk about the referees. Tom Mamadou Diop. I thought I'd give you this one. Because, well, the Harlow Hummels. He spent the whole train back going, oh, give me a defender that starts with M. Or with E. Or with F or something.
The Bulldog Beckenbauer.
Yeah.
Just naming places that he's just simply not from.
Yeah. Yeah.
A defender that starts with the same
The Meldrith Matarazzi. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was brilliant, wasn't he? He made his league debut. He was terrific.
Yeah, really good. And, you know, it's so pleasing when, you know, we've heard a lot of talk about Diop from Little Bits. I remember actually speaking to Jimmy Unwin, who's obviously since departed to...
All right, name drop.
Actually, this was for the pod in the build-up to the Youth Cup run last season. And I think, I can't remember if I asked him, he might have even just brought it up on his own. He's like, the next one that's coming through will be Diop. Absolutely no question about it. And he is someone who's had a bit of, you know, a little bit of hype around him here and there. And, you know, for those of us that pretty much just watched the first team, like, we've not really seen much of him, the odd preseason friendly here and there. But I think it was when he went out on loan to Gateshead really this season, you know, you start getting the reviews in from them. I know it's a different level, but, you know, I think the telling thing is when, you know, these kids, which is fundamentally what they are, go into a proper men's league like the conference. You know, God knows we've seen enough of that league in our time to be able to judge whether it's a decent, you know, whether it can kind of showcase what a player has or maybe hasn't got in certain instances. But the reviews that came back were brilliant. And obviously, I guess the decision to recall him was partly forced. Obviously, Morrison missed out. He, you know, obviously had a bit of a knock that meant he missed the whole weekend. But, I mean, part of it would have just been, look, we just need someone fresh in there. And again, like, you talk about that, like the level of team that we're playing against. So this isn't like a gimme. This isn't just like, just chuck him in and see how he gets on. Like, he's playing against one of the best sides in the league. And therefore, well, in terms of Devante Carl and one or two of the other forwards, like, you're talking about the best strikers in the league and the best forwards in the league. Factually, like, there's no debating that at all. And he just came in and he dealt with it pretty calmly, really. Like, it was absolutely nothing. And look, it wasn't like, you know, a really kind of, I guess it's hard to put like a really flashy eye-catching performance as a centre-back, but it was just one of those where just everything that came near him got headed away, got kicked away, did the basic stuff really well. We've also seen on Monday what a throw he's got on him as well, which could be a real asset to us, a real you know, something we've got in our arsenal now. But yeah, I thought Obadi, he was excellent. You know, I guess Gassan takes the headlines because of the goals that he scored over the weekend. But I think Diop is the one who's been the standout performer, and particularly at Barnsley, you know, clean sheets. But when you're in the position that we're in, you know, you can't always rely on having the quality to put the ball in the net. So what you can rely on and what you can work on is a structure and a base to build from or build on, which means that you keep it out of it. And it's one of those things sometimes where it's like, well, that in games, if you can't win it, just don't lose it. And having players at the back who can look so comfortable and look so at ease is obviously a big way to doing that. So, yeah, he was excellent. Carried on his form into Monday as well, which we'll talk about. But, yeah, it's really pleasing to see someone come in and just take to the level so well. Like when Liam Bennett did a couple of years ago, really. And you look what he's gone on to do since. Like, you know, there's probably not not too many greater compliments you can pay than that, really. So he came in and looked pretty calm. And yeah, hopefully more of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell he's a proper player, isn't he? You can tell straight away. It's almost a shame for Mamadou that, you know, Gassan's had such a blinding weekend that he's not taking all of the plaudits, even though he's obviously taken a lot of them. Not a French person on Twitter, on X, sorry, has asked how many years until Job wins the Ballon d'Or. Not sure if that's a serious question, but soon. Swindle, there's some other performances to talk about, but I think I want to talk about them in the context of both games. So we're going to come on to some other individual performances. I think we've covered a lot of what was so brilliant about Barnsley and how organised and committed we were across the park. Only one of the bottom eight lost on Friday. Actually, like, pretty remarkable. And that was Fleetwood to Cheltenham. I wondered what your thoughts on it were, because I think at the time I remember thinking, oh, God, it's actually frustrating that we go and win. No one's been winning. And then the one time we win, we're not really, like, making ground on anyone. But actually, am I looking at it, or was I looking at it wrong at the time, when actually you think, God, if we'd lost, as everyone was expecting, like the amount of ground we'd have lost on people that we're then, you know, having to make up would have just been potentially, and what it does to momentum going into Monday and everything, like, actually, you know, it didn't really matter, I guess, what the others do, is what I'm trying to say, as long as you're building your points total.
Yeah, exactly. The ball's very much in our court. You know, we're in control of our own destiny. It's not like last season. So, yeah, I think all we needed to do is kind of focus on the games. And people talk about, you know, cup finals at the end of the season and taking it a game at a time. But equally, doing something like Friday, getting a clean sheet away at a promotion chase inside, gives you that confidence than going into Monday. So I wasn't particularly disappointed. I mean, it was job done, and it did highlight the importance of, you know, not losing ground. And, you know, we could have been in the relegation zone at the end of that day. So it's, you know, it's the business end of the season. And as we've said, Gary Monk's had a bit of time with these players before these two games. And, you know, he's obviously put a lot of hard work in, as have the players. You know, you mentioned Job coming back. The first we heard of it was when you guys seeing him train on the Tuesday. And then, you know, and he'd had a game the weekend before. So it's kind of astonishing that he's come in so quickly, you know, come into the team and just done so well. So, yeah, I was cautiously looking at the other results. But, you know, the main one I was looking at was us keeping a clean sheet away at Barnsley and winning the game. So, yeah, it's much, really. And then backing it up with another result on Monday. We're not home and hosed quite yet, but it's a massive step towards League One football next year.
Yeah, it's huge. Absolutely massive. Let's move on to that. So Friday, Tom, about the 60th minute or something like that, 50th, 60th minute, Lyle Taylor goes down injured. And I think a few weeks ago, everyone would have gone, oh, right, well, that's that done. That's the season done. I don't think anyone was feeling particularly bad about the situation. Obviously, you know, not wishing injury on Taylor, but I think at least for that game, it was a bit of a blessing in disguise, because being able to have an immediate excuse to bring Gassan on, I think, is something that everyone was calling for anyway. Might have happened anyway, obviously, don't get me wrong. But the impact he had the moment he came on the pitch, I was thinking about all those chances, that the clear-cut chances that Barnsley had, those entries into the box, and like, and those moments where they'd really penetrated us. I think they pretty much all happened before Gassan came on. I think from the moment Gassan came on, he gave us this, like, not just an outlet, but this release point that I don't think Taylor was doing. He makes the ball stick so much better to him that it means that you can push up the field better, and we can move into, you know, other phases of play, and like have breaks from the ball constantly getting pounded onto you when, you know, you're surrendering possession all the time. Basically, how much of an impact did he have on that game? But then also into Wigan, like, what a weekend for the gas man.
Yeah, really big. I think the point you make about the game at Barnsley is a good one, and, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but, you know, you do defend from the front sometimes, and he's exactly the sort of player that you need to be doing that. A lot of the talk in the summer was about, you know, the sort of forward that we need to bring in, because, you know, fundamentally the first at least 18 months of our time in League One was built around Ironside doing that exact job in a 4-2-3-1. And you kind of felt we need to upgrade, but we need to retain the kind of work ethic of that sort of forward. And look, you know, obviously we hope Lyle Taylor, you know, is back with us soon, because clearly he's the sort of player that you would rather have the option for than not have the option for. But you know, we're not sat here with the benefit of hindsight saying it, because we were saying at the time as well, like, that change should happen because it wasn't working with Taylor. It wasn't quite sticking. It wasn't, you know, for want of a better phrase, there weren't enough yards being put in. And yeah, look, Hadmay came on and did what Hadmay did, but it just feels like there's been an extra like edge of quality added to his game. So I think we had the graft, we had all of the graft and more than you could have really hoped for at the start of the season, but he has just added that knack of just being in the right place at the right time. And I just love the way he just chucks himself at stuff like headers. Like, he just absolutely lobs himself at it. I mean, the header that he scored at his bars, he was brilliant.
It was so good.
It's like reminiscent. Do you remember that header that Smith scored away at Wigan?
Yeah, it's a great shout.
Just in the way that, like, he literally heads it in pretty much the only place where it's going to beat the keeper and go in. But, like, what I was going to say on Gaston, just a bit wider than that, is so he's now on double figures for the season. He's now scored 10 goals in the league, 23 appearances. So I know it's simplistic. It's perhaps too simple. But, you know, you replicate that over a 46 league game season. That's 20 goals in the league and then cups and whatever else. You know, you're talking a guy, 20, 25 goal a season striker. I know it's not that yet, because obviously there's still a lot to go, and you know, he's maybe struggled to play the amount of football he might have liked to. I think it's the most appearances he's made in a season in his career to date, so that shows that we're going the right way. But yeah, Friday was brilliant. Did the defensive bit of the game really well, which obviously sounds a bit weird for a striker, but I think you'll kind of know what I mean. But then yeah, against you know, against Wigan, it was kind of the other part of his game which really came to the fore. I mean, the finish for his first is brilliant. Let's not forget the Brophy assist, because God knows we've been crying as well.
Do you know, I heard it because I was watching from home. The radio was saying that Brophy's last assist. Do you remember it? Do you know what it is?
No.
Right. I mean, it's Shrewsbury at home. Do you remember who scored that game?
Was it Tracy?
No. This season.
Oh, this season.
When no. Morrison picks the ball up on the halfway.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, that's Brophy's part.
Let's just say he's definitely not having that. Yeah. But no, yeah, look, the finish is brilliant. It's just another example of him just like having a desire and just like the energy just to get in front of a defender and just get something on it. And again, like, it's a really good finish, because it's pretty much the only part of the goal that he can put the ball in that beats the keeper and beats the sort of inside of the post. So yeah, that was really good. Another really good header. For the second, and
brilliant ball from Kaikai there as well. Let's just point that out. I thought he did so well.
Yeah, it was. I think Kaikai's been quietly fairly consistent-ish with putting in some pretty decent performances, so it's good from him. But yeah, I mean, I think it's all about the header, because again, like, we're talking about these chances, that they're not easy chances. These, like, you know, the one at Barnsley particularly, and obviously the finish for the first goal isn't either, but like this one, he's kind of like back to goal. Like, he's got to kind of shift his body and get it in the right place. And yeah, really, really good stuff. And, you know, I guess the question becomes, firstly, how many more goals can he score? But the second is, what happens next? Because, I mean, look, if he stays in this sort of form, there's going to be, I imagine, question marks asked about, you know, teams who maybe would like to take a punt on a striker. And yeah, look, someone in his form is obviously going to catch the eye a little bit. But that for us now, you know, we'll know in what 4 weeks time, but it doesn't feel like it's too much to say that, you know, his performances this weekend are potentially the difference between us staying up and going down. And yeah, can't really be too more complimentary than that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about Gassan's career as a whole, and you raised the point, Tom, about him not playing as many games as he'd want to, but, you know, he'd only scored 7 goals in his career before this season. And this is a real make or break season for him, apart from anything else. And yeah, I was thinking the other day, looking towards the end of the season, and suddenly the gas man becomes one of the front runners for our players of the season, which is kind of crazy to say, given that he's missed, you know, quite a big chunk of it. But when it's mattered, he's delivered. And yeah, it's great to see a young player like that coming through. And they say to never fall in love with a lone player, but I'm besotted.
Well, I'm not sure we'll be going back to Premier League Ipswich. I mean, maybe. You never know. But yeah, there will be a lot of interest for him in the summer if he keeps this up. Ryan's asked if Gasson had been fit all season, whereabouts in the league would we be?
Top.
Brilliant. You're not brilliant. Okay. So I'll say that.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. You can't.
Anyway, Swindle, this is only the third time that we've won back-to-back games this season, once under Bonner, which was the first two of the season, once under Harris, which was first two home games of the season. Sorry, his first two home games under, of his tenure. And now these two under Monk. Given all the context, given the fact that, you know, he's coming off the back of conceding 11 goals in three games, losing 4-0 to a team, you know, a point above you in the league. Do you think these are the most impressive of the two? Of those three back-to-back games that we've won?
Yeah, I do. I think it's incredible, really, given the context of it. We looked hopeless, and I don't really mean that in its traditional sense. I mean, like, we looked like we had no hope. And yeah, it's just amazing what a bit of time can do. And Monk deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with the players in this break, because some of them were there and some of them went on international break, and he's had to deal with, you know, people coming back in and trying to kind of get the balance right. He's changed the formation as well. And yeah, it's amazing to see that, you know, it's good to see that. And I think he's a bit more of a technical manager, and it shows you that, because he's experimented with this formation. He's got the personnel playing where they should be and playing how they should be. And I think even, you know, there's a lot of players getting a lot of doubts. It's great, as we said, to see Brophy get an assist. You know, the last one might have been for Michael Morrison, but this was a really good assist. I think he's probably been working with them individually. And, you know, I think Gary Monk is probably quite a good man manager. So I think it's massively impressive. And especially to go away to somewhere like Barnsley, who are promotion chasing, regardless of whether their home form is iffy or not, our away form is iffy. So, yeah, an incredible result, that one. And then, you know, equally kind of impressive, you know, at home to a pretty, you know, decent Wigan side, who would have fancied themselves to get something from the game for sure. And yeah, just a very professional looking job in both games, you know, not having much possession on Friday, but still managing the game. And you might ride your luck a bit, but yeah, I think it's just really great. And I think that you can see that they're playing for him. I think the players probably felt like they owed him a bit after those absolutely thumping defeats. And it's good to see from them as well, you know, a bit of passion and a bit of backbone. I think we lacked a bit of backbone and a bit of kind of game management.
That absolutely. I think that's actually a really important point here, because he kept talking in his post-match on Monday about the commitment of the players. It's a word he kept saying it. And I think he said himself, like, you know, I keep saying it, but like what I've seen is just like the commitment to probably everything they've worked on, but also those intangibles, like the desire and everything. And that's almost 6 points is obviously the most important thing. But to see that difference in the performances, as we touched on at the start with the Barnsley result, is sort of equally as important in a way, right? And it's like you can hear that in our voices as we're doing this podcast. Obviously, again, 6 points is always going to be the most important thing, but it's just like, I think so much of us had just, that hope had just extinguished in us, and it was becoming such a chore, like watching this side. And then you don't get that little bounce when you get that new manager in. It's like, oh, how can he change it now? And to see it happen in front of your eyes, it's like, it's really gratifying for, obviously it must be for Monk, but also these players who have worked for him and have put that commitment in to play for, you know, for him, and but also for the club, because a lot of them will have a month left of their deal and then probably, you know, won't ever think about Cambridge United ever again. So to see them have that commitment, I think is huge and great for obviously a fan base. Let's go through a couple of them actually, because I think there's a few names that we should talk about who, God knows, they get enough criticism from this podcast. So I think this is a good moment to go through them. I've got three here, which are maybe the three that have come in for the most stick, not just on this pod, but in various, you know, message boards and on X throughout the season. Jordan Cousins, won't surprise you, player of the season. Ryan Bennett. But specifically, let's talk about Danny Andrew first. Tom, Danny Andrew, I mean, the free kick is unreal. I mean, there's your set piece specialist that I've been digging out all year. And the ping for Hadmi as well. So there's a goal and assist this weekend that are vital. But also the way he... his general performance, I thought, in that left centre-back role was brilliant, especially the second half against Wigan. In general, I thought him and Gibbons down that left-hand side did really, really well. But the celebration is absolutely top tier, isn't it?
Yeah, let's just ignore all of that. Let's just ignore the positivity about our players and just talk about our man Godo. You celebrate in front of the home end at 2-1 down, you're labelled a prat. And that's the...
At 2-1 down. And the thing is, I watched it back, yeah. He gives it so much, Godo, for that. You're pulling a goal back against a team 20th in the league.
It's like to the point, you know, like, I genuinely think he didn't know what the score was.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like he generally thought they'd scored the pen or something. Like, it's mental that he did that. Like, it's proper odd behaviour.
Yeah, weird. But anyway, Danny Andrew, yeah. No, yeah, he's. I think he's something that we've said a couple of times. Like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that we've, you know, been blowing smoke up his arse every week, because that, you know, factually is just not the case. But I think we have said that quietly he's had a pretty decent season, and for, you know, a lot of the season has been probably one of our better performers. Now, that's not necessarily all been huge credit to Danny Andrew. A lot of that has been essentially just a pretty poor reflection on his teammates, basically. But I think over this weekend, he's one that obviously comes out of it with massive credit. You know, I've actually forgot about it. That was him putting the free kick in for Ahadmay. And look, we said at the start of the season, the set pieces and what he should bring to that department. Because let's not forget, our set pieces at times last season and even the season before that were pretty atrocious. But worth their weight in gold this weekend. The free kick that he scores is just brilliant. It's brilliant. So good.
Someone put this on the message board, but there's like an angle that the United account put on Twitter from like by the side of the goal, and he gives the keeper the eyes from like 35 yards out. Like, he's really shaping to cross it, and he's like looking at Ahadmay in the box, and he's pointing at him, and then he's just bang, watch this, and like top left hand corner. It's brilliant. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. There's a brilliant angle of it from behind the goal as well. Some great footage of this that has come out. But yeah, no, it was what a strike, man. I know the keeper sort of gets half a hand to it, but yeah, you're not stopping that.
What? Maybe there's an answer to this. Sorry, Tom. Maybe there's an answer to this question that's much more obvious than I can think of right now. What was the last direct free kick we scored?
Danny Andrew.
Where?
Fleetwood at home.
Fleetwood in the league.
Next.
In the league.
Oh, in the league.
It's not going to make for great pod material, this, is it?
Yeah. I don't know. There's your answer. Again, at AmbiStandPod on X, if you want to do our work for us, basically.
Yeah.
Good for Danny Andrew, and certainly good for a couple of the others that you mentioned, because I think it's due, well, that we've not had much chance to do it, so let's give him credit while we can.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I think Cousins, especially on Monday, I thought he did well. On Friday, he played all right on Friday, but others played better. I thought Ryan Bennett marshalled that back line really well on Friday, because that can't have been an easy job, considering you've got a debutant next to you to your right-hand side, and then a left-back playing centre-back on the other side. But I thought he did really well.
It is important to like really single him out, though, because, you know, let's be fair, we have done it the other way quite a lot this season, particularly with Cousins and more recently with Bennett as well. And I would like to think that, look, I think we provide some balance at times. That balance tends to be we slag them off really badly when they lose, and really, really, really get behind them when they win, which, you know, it's
literally what we're doing right now.
Bennett was brilliant at Barnsley. Obviously should have got his goal. And I think, like you say, not necessarily coaching Jove through the game, it's not giving too much credit, but, you know, helping out a youngster, definitely. Obviously it was then good against Wigan. I thought, yeah, I'm not sure Cousins put in like an 8 or 9 out of 10 performance at Barnsley. He was okay. He was pretty competent in the middle, but I think it was the second half against Wigan particularly. I thought it was excellent. It's definitely the best 45 minutes he's had in a Cambridge shirt. They're right to the top. But no, like they're both excellent. And, you know, again, let's be fair, like those two were the ones that we sat here after Reading and we singled out and we laid into for so many reasons. You know, a big part of it being the quality of performance, but another part of that being what we felt to be a lack of desire in their performances, and they put it right. And what can you say? Maybe it's a rocket up the arse they needed. Maybe it's what spurred them on.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Well, hopefully they're not listening to this pod. Jesus. That is quite a good way to summarise almost the whole weekend, though, right? Like what you just said there. Like, there they go. They've gone and put it all right. Swindle, a word for Will Mannion, shall we, in goal. I mean, it's a great pen save. Something that a lot of people might not have clocked live in the ground, depending on where they're watching from, is how hilarious the rebound is. There's two Wigan players. First of all, one of them is absolutely encroaching. He's like, he's in the box well before the penalty is taken. And then he's, because he's so far ahead, he him and one of the other lads, they the rebound comes straight to him. It's a tap in, and they both trip over each other, and then Joe clears it. Brilliant. But a moment for Will Mannion instead. Swindle clean sheet at Barnsley and penalty save on Monday. Getting, you know, Jack Stevens' performance at Reading wasn't at the right level in the first half, but still a tough task to come in at this stage of the season and keep goal.
Well, absolutely. And it shows you the benefit of having two competent keepers. You know, some teams at this level have very much their first choice and then, you know, someone whose job it is very much to warm the bench. I think there's competition for places there, which is good. I think Jack Stevens has been getting an absolute panning and I understand why. But I also think we need to bear in mind that he's also got 10 clean sheets this season. So I think we, you know, a bit of credit towards Jack Stevens for the work he has done. But to be able to bring Will Mannion in, and for him just to be so, kind of commanding without that match time is really impressive. And I've always rated Mannion as a keeper. And it's nice to see him get a run of the team. It'll be a shame to see Jack Stevens not play, but I imagine, you know, he might have to settle for warming the bench and playing second fiddle to Mannion or moving down a league. But Mannion himself, great penalty save. You know, he is very commanding from set pieces too, and I think it's just a huge benefit to have that. And I think he will keep goal, as you said, till the end of the season now, and probably look to push ahead and make the number one spot his next season.
I think there's no reason why he shouldn't, to be honest. I think we've seen him on a bunch of different spells now, and I don't think he's ever really put a foot wrong. Let's not get too far into it. That's probably a question for a summer pod. For now, he's been brilliant, and I'm sure he'll keep that number one slot until the end of the season at least. Let's wrap up from both the games just by sort of looking at the league to picture as a whole. Opposite to Good Friday, Monday became Great Monday. Only one of the bottom eight won, which was us. Seven lost. Like proper dreamland of a day. Tom, how monumental a day was this in the relegation battle?
Yeah, very big. I mean, the day just sort of opened up, didn't it? And it felt like the results just sort of got a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then Wigan get back into the game. You're like, oh, fucking hell, this is going to be nervy. And then Dan Andrews slots one from 30 yards out. It's what we're worried about. But I think there's a couple of things really, and I think, you know, the obvious one is the gap in points, because, you know, it's now 6 points, the gap to 21st. The goal difference thing is big as well, because, and again, this is a point that we made after Reading, because we'd obviously just been shellacked twice in like the space of 4 days. And our goal difference took a real, real battering because of it. But a couple of wins by, you know, both by clear goals combined with losses for other teams around us. Well, we've now got a better goal difference than any of the teams below us, which, you know, again, like cliche, but it's worth a point, isn't it? You know, at the end of the season. And the other thing that I didn't really take into account that I think is big just in the context of the league for the rest of the season is that there's one fixture in there, which I think is massive, which is that Cheltenham play Burton and still. So, this might be too simplistic to look at it, but I feel like that almost gives us like an extra game, right? Because they can't both win that game, obviously. I mean, imagine if they did, but but yeah, like, you know, it's probably not job done yet. It's probably not. Probably not. I mean, it might be. Whisper it quietly. It might be. It's a massive step along the way to it.
Absolutely. I think this weekend, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure we've all got pretty tough games this weekend. And then the Tuesday after that, we don't play, but Cheltenham play Carlisle at home, which is their game in hand on everyone else in the relegation zone. And you think if they win that, then they take themselves out of the drop zone, then the gap becomes five. So if the gap's realistically five, you can't call us done. But then you're looking at what, by that point, four games left of the season, I think. Every game that we can keep a gap of 4, 5, 6 points, it does start to become, more and more improbable. I think we've now got 5% chance of going down. So 1 in 20 times you play the season out, we go down. Like, we've got to be taking those odds considering where we were at. You know, Thursday, if I'd have asked either of you, you'd have both said, yeah, we're going down, I think.
I think the only thing that's haunting me is how, like, how the odds were the back end of last season against us. You know, it's still very much possible for us to go down. I think we need another win, realistically, to kind of... I know the 50-point mark is what is highlighted, but I feel if we get one more win or three draws, I feel like that's the level we're at. And like you say, I think there's not many of them playing each other, but it would be nice just to get a bit more of a buffer. But the goal difference point from Tom is massive. We're now, yeah, now having better goal difference than the bottom four is big.
Bear in mind what we did last season, though. That was a remarkable thing for a team to do, right? Like, Fleetwood threatened to do it, and obviously they've fallen off now, and they're as good as down. Even Vale, like, to keep up, you know, teams are bad because they can't consistently pick up points, which is what we somehow managed to do in that spell. And we'd started this time last year, right? So this time we'd beat Vale, I think, right? So this was like the start of the run. I'm not saying it's important. You're right, Swindon. We shouldn't rule it out because these things do happen in football seasons, but it doesn't mean that they're, you know, like, if things go the way they should go, then we should stay up pretty comfortably from this position, really. That doesn't mean it's done, and I'm not writing off, but we put ourselves in such an amazing position this weekend that, given the shit we've been through the last sort of 6 weeks, I think we should all just, like, just enjoy this moment and then be able to go to Blackpool without the imminent pressure of needing points. And just, you know, I fancy Saturday big time. I fancy us to get something up there. We've got obviously the preview show coming out on Thursday. We'll be previewing with a friend of mine. They've totally ruled themselves out of the playoff picture. They're 6 points adrift of that. And I think we go there playing a team who aren't in good form, who don't have a lot to play for, and are really on the backs of their manager. And we come in with a bit of momentum and a spring in our step and 800 travelling fans. Honestly, I'm not normally like this with United, but I think we get something from that game.
You're trying to tell me Blackpool are on the beach?
Yes!
Yes!
Come on!
There we go. One long donkey ride home, couldn't there? That's all I've got.
Tom, how many wins do you think we need? Josh has asked. We're just as close to 12th as we are to 21st, you know, which is pretty mad.
How many wins do we need to do what?
To stay up. Get the playoffs, I don't know.
No, we left the playoffs a bit late, I think.
Yeah, we have. This year we have a touch, yeah.
Yeah. I think really it's one, isn't it? Just win a game.
I think so.
I think it gives... There's not really like need for a massive explanation on it, but I just think it gives the other teams that are below us just too much to do. Frankly, you know, you talk about our form at the end of last season being ridiculous. I mean, theirs would have to be truly, truly impressive. And again, like, it becomes the case of the thing that we always say, which is like, it's not even necessarily a case of like, will, I don't know, let's say in this instance, Cheltenham, like, are they going to stay up? Like, maybe, maybe not. But like, if we go and win another game, it's like, are they going to catch us? Almost definitely not. Because like, if we win one more game, then they've then got to get 10 points from their last... from the last seven. Admittedly, it's not like beyond the realms of possibility, but it's still a tall order for a team that have picked up, you know, less than a point a game all season so far. Admittedly, that doesn't take into account the start they had. But then, like, you know, you could say the same thing of Port Vale, right? So, yeah, I think realistically, win one game, make it Blackpool, for fuck's sake, make it Blackpool. and then, yeah, and then, look, the best thing that we could hope for now is that you're sat there, you know, watching Derby potentially come here and win promotion, Port Vale potentially staying up on the last day and thinking it does not fucking matter what we do in either of these two games, not one jot, because as you quite rightly say, like 4 or 5 days ago, it felt like certainly the Derby game, but definitely the Port Vale game, we're going to be pretty daunting prospects, and we've now given ourselves the best possible opportunity to mean that, to basically render them totally pointless, from our perspective anyway. Then we can really start phoning it in, and then it's very much get to work in the summer. But yeah, one win, I reckon that's what it takes.
Yeah, I'm with you. Swindle, how just to wrap up, how excited are you for the rest of the season now, or is there still some nerves for you?
There's always nerves at this point, but no, I mean, if Carlsberg did Easter weekends, I think that would be it for Cambridge United. It was pretty awesome, and we've just set ourselves up so well. And the points about both of them stand, you know, with everyone winning on the Friday, it was crucial to get the win, and then with no one winning on Monday, it means that we've just got a bit of breathing space. And I feel like there's a bit of confidence. The tails are up. I think, your bullishness shows that you know the fans are on board with it too, and it would be nice for you know to take a big crowd up to Blackpool, get something from that game, and then be able to kind of enjoy the last few games, because last season was so exhausting, kind of mentally by the end, you know, but when we eventually stayed up, it was yeah just so draining. So it'd be nice to kind of have a few dead rubbers. We've not had one in a while, given that you know we seem to like to leave it late. So yeah, hopefully there can be some positivity this weekend, and yeah, then we can get ourselves on the beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll be on the beach on Saturday. Not like literally us, not Cambridge United. Before then, we've got a preview show on Thursday, so look out for that in your feeds. Tom, I want to leave you with a pretty remarkable stat from Simon. When was the last time we didn't concede a corner on Friday and then we didn't get awarded a corner in the next match? Eh?
I don't know.
No, I know. It'd be mental if yeah. you knew that off the top of your head. Like, even by your standards, that would be mental.
It's sprung on me, that. Don't know. Yeah, that's a bit of a quirk, isn't it? Thanks, Simon.
It is a bit of a quirk. Yeah. Yeah, well played. Thank you very much, Tom. Really appreciate your time today, mate.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Actually, that's a fucking lie. That's a total lie. It's not always a pleasure.
Today has been a pleasure.
But today has been a pleasure.
Swindle, thank you and all, mate.
Thank you very much, mate.